Thank you.
Na pour l'autre dimanche.
L'autre dimanche, the same air.
Yes.
The same place.
Bye, guys.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk, Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Tuesday, September 22nd, tune into all sorts of special programming on Creative Community Radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. Catskill's Corey McClaskland has the Forgotten Geek Show at 11 a.m. with entertainment news, music from past decades, special features, and more. Then at noon, Rob Saffer has all kinds of new music on his Overlooked Show, live from Ulster County, with new tracks from Halu Mergia from Ethiopia.
Check. So, got all kinds of sounds coming to you from another episode of Reveal Inhuman. Very improvised setup. So hopefully this will work. Listening to WGXC 90.7 FM live radio for open ears. This is, as I said, very improvised setup coming to you from Hudson, New York, and from Western New York. Hopefully this will work out. What you're hearing right now is me, the Argonaut. And I've got a guest with me tonight. I wanted to play some things from someone I've recently met in Buffalo, New York, Ulysses Atwin, performer, musician, object, scavenger, lecturer, an artist of many forms, currently making installations and institutional critique in Western New York, and so I wanted to play some of Atwin's work, and I appreciate that turns out he's able to join us on the program live from Buffalo, and perhaps he'll talk a little bit about the pieces we're going to listen to tonight or this evening, and maybe even talk a little bit about what he's currently thinking about and making. So I hope you'll be able to hear everything that we're going to try to bring to you. Right now, I'm going to introduce Ulysses Atwin. Can you hear me? Okay. We'll bring this music down a little bit. Okay. Can we all hear Ulysses? Second, make some adjustments here. Okay, how about now? Okay. Hi. How are you doing? Okay, still just working this out. If you want to just tell us, well, first of all, where are you coming from? Thank you. Okay. Now. Can we hear you now? Try that.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Okay, welcome. Hi. Welcome to Sloppy Old Radio Program here. I've got a lot of things playing at once. And yeah, seems like maybe it's somewhat audible. So much for my intended introduction. I was just saying something about how we're glad to have Ulysses Atwin live from Buffalo. We have a couple of pieces we're going to play, and they're kind of longer form, and so I thought maybe we could have, you could tell us a little bit about the work and introduce first one of these pieces, and then we'll play it and see what happens.
What's the first one that you're playing?
Okay, so we have something that is... yeah, something that's called 4 Tony, I believe.
Yeah, it's I gotta read it myself here. Sujil Tony von Buffalo, which is 2 Jill 4 Tony from Buffalo, which was a musical collaboration that I did with a musician and artist from Buffalo who now lives in Berlin, Jillian Mirth, and there was for a Q&A screening of Tony Conrad Completely Present at Wolf Kino in Berlin in January 2018, and it consists of a reel-to-reel recording of a family piano in Iowa City that I recorded in 2005. It was just live, a two-channel reel-to-reel. I recorded it because there was a D2 note that was just so perfect, and I had this reel for years and hadn't done anything with it, and when Jill asked me to participate and send her some music, I transferred it to the computer, and then I didn't use any of these guys layered multiple tracks, layering the tracks on top of each other and got these new sounds. That was then created in 2018 and used in the performance of Berlin.
Okay, great. So, you know, I just, before I play it, I just thought that, because we're going to be listening to this for a while, it's a 33-minute piece, and if you feel inspired to come back in on top of it and... tell us about anything along the way, or if we should sit back and indulge in the entirety of the track. But before we do, I was reading some things about what you're up to, and I was reading an interview with you from a show that you did that was not a sonic show, but an object-based show that you did recently, I think about a year ago, at a space called Big Orbit in Buffalo, New York. And I just thought it was kind of interesting the way it intersects with some things here, thinking about time, thinking about you're talking with someone interviewing you about how you would come into the space and move things around and it would constantly change. That was one aspect of it that I feel like, you know, there was some element of the experience of the work being very ephemeral, that one person encountering the show at one time would be very different than someone else encountering it, or cumulatively like the experience of revisiting the space. And maybe if you had some thoughts about the relationship of that to your practice as a musician, as a sort of sound performer. I was just curious if they are related or if they're two totally different practices.
I think they are related, and they're informed by really music being my first artistic expression. You know, instead of practicing the piano pieces I was supposed to, just playing different notes on the piano. But I should say that I moved to Buffalo to go to media study. So my background was making video. So I think duration is something that I am always thinking about in terms of music and video, and moving towards an object-based practice, which I guess I call sculpture, but it's, I'm not sure if it's exactly how I'm not sure if that's the best term, but it works to describe it. So I think I just have trouble with this idea that something's fixed. You know, you go into a gallery and it just stays static. That doesn't, in some way, doesn't make sense to me. So I think there is that response that we need to perform, even if it's over a longer amount of time, or even if people aren't present in the changing of the space.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And so another thing that happened there is that it culminated with a kind of performative talk in the space of the exhibit, right? I think there was something that you had said about how, you know, it's important for you to kind of get the ideas out behind the work, not just the work being some kind of independent entity, but kind of you being kind of embedded in how someone receives it.
Yeah, I did a musical performance in addition to the talk, and then I may or may not have cut the $10,000 couch in half.
Right. Okay. And so this is a different perform. I guess I was kind of maybe I was conflating the two. It's a completely different gallery exhibition in which you performed as a musician. This was really just you speaking as the author of those works.
I did a performance there too, same time that evening.
Oh, okay.
But it's not the one in the recording. That was a different show. That was with Julian Montague.
I see. Okay. Well, it's well, maybe this would be a good time to listen to some of your work, and then we can kind of come back and talk more about it and see how these things fit together. I think I'm always interested in work that is this kind of has this kind of duration to it. I mean, it seems like your name itself, it kind of indicates something about an odyssey, and not only an odyssey, but also this relationship to time, this idea that you're kind of dislocated from relating to any kind of specific time, this idea of the unknown that's coming. I don't know. Maybe that's something that maybe names carry their own fate. But I was curious about that as well. And you know, I guess, well, we'll come back and this is for Tony. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Tony because you also mentioned media study. But for now, you're listening to WGXC. I appreciate you, Ulysses, joining us, and I appreciate you, listeners, sticking with some strange kind of effects that are happening as a result of a lot of different things coming from a bunch of kind of frayed improvised cables hanging across the street and into my backyard. But right now, this is a piece by Ulysses Atwin. Tell us again what this one is called.
To Jill for Tony from Buffalo.
Excellent. Okay, so stick with us and we'll be back soon. WGXC.
Thank you.
Okay. We're back. We're back after listening to this epic piece to Jill Fortuny from Buffalo by Ulysses Atwin, who's here live from Buffalo. I want to remind you, you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. And this is a station that I hope you support so you can hear such pieces as this, live, long-form, concentrated pieces of art, sonic art, and having the opportunity to hear the artist live, the author of the work. So we have a little bit of time left in our program before you hear Miles Goldfarb music of recent centuries up at 7 o'clock. First, I want to invite Ulysses back on the air to talk to us about this piece. A massive sound, and it was produced with upright piano. Welcome back, Ulysses.
Thank you.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about what was going on there? What were we hearing?
Yeah, I so the piano, I think I talked about before, about not practicing on, but getting interested in just making sounds with when I was younger. It was a family piano that was given to my parents when they moved to Iowa City by some friends. It was always a little bit of out of tune, and when I was back there before moving to Buffalo, I there was this one key on the piano that had a beautiful resonance. It was out of tune in the most perfect way. Maybe perfect's not the right way, the most beautiful way. And so I decided to just record mostly that note. So I put a microphone so close that a couple times the strings hit the microphone. So there's kind of a physical distortion there. And then I believe a second microphone I had put on the soundboard to kind of get the other notes that were, because I think I had the damper pedal down. And I just had that for years and years and years. And then my friend Jillian was going to perform at the screening of Tony Conrad Complete New Present in Berlin, and she asked me to record Niagara Falls and like a few days before, and I was like, that sounds great, but I couldn't do it. So I guess I had the reel-to-reel set up, and I was going through old tapes, and I decided to transfer this to the computer, and so the sounds that you're hearing are some distortion from the tape compression by kind of pushing the needles to overdrive, in the original recording. And then when I transferred it to the computer, I didn't add any more effects or any distortion or anything. What I was able to do is, because of being able to copy a track and add several identical versions, I stacked like something like 17 or 20 tracks, and I got different artifacts of stacking the tracks in such a way, and I have to say that it was very almost accidental that it all happened that way, that I found that tape and then I put it to the computer and then sent it to Jill, who then used it in her performance. But there in a way it is really Fortuny, because there's things emerged in this version of the recording as opposed to the original tape version that I didn't expect. I could hear sounds that were similar to maybe things that he had done, and it's difficult, right? We've talked about influences and noting those influences, and sometimes you don't realize how important someone is in your work. And I mean, it also, I didn't know anything about Tony's piano recording project, where he recorded like 200 hours of music on a piano. I didn't know anything about that when I recorded in Iowa City. And I don't know how to describe it, but they're serendipitous or cosmic or something. And So I guess I do like that it was named that way, and that the whole thing came together because of Jill in Berlin because of the movie that, that Tyler Hubby made, and because of, you know, all that. So I guess that kind of explains it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Our program, the constraints of the program are far too, it's far too small for, this extended, scale of the work. So we're actually almost at the end of our hour somehow. And what I'd like to do is maybe I could get you to come back, because we now have just kind of been introduced to some of this work, and there's just so much to talk about. And maybe I could convince you to come back and join us again.
That would be great. Thank you.
What I have another piece there that maybe we could just play out, and maybe we just have a couple minutes if there's anything that you want to add. This is something that was performed at the Anna Kaplan Gallery in Buffalo in collaboration with Julian Montague's Fictions show. This is something called Backing Track. What's Backing Track?
It was just the track that I recorded with the setup before the event and then played it when I did the show. So it's not the recording of the performance. It was... but it's recording using the setup for the performance.
Got it. Okay. So we're going to listen to Backing Track. You've been listening to the work of Ulysses Atwin, and I hope that we have him back on WGXC 90.7 FM. And this is La Ville Inhumaine coming to you live from Hudson, New York. We'll see you next month. We do this program the third Sunday of the month. Right now, we're going to hear Ulysses Atwin Backing Track. Thanks for listening.